Good morning, church. I'm Chris. I am one of the elders here at the church, and I have the honor to give you and teach today's message. When Pastor Ryan called me and asked if I would teach today's message, the first words out of his mouth when I answered the phone were, "Can I freak you out?" I know when he asks me that question that I'm about to be stretched. So I said, "Yeah, okay, what do you want?" He said, "I made a boo-boo. This 6'6" man used the words boo-boo with me." He said, "I made a boo-boo and all the teaching pastors are gone the 28th. Would you be willing to teach the message?" Immediately, I started wrestling with the spirit and trying to come up with excuses why I couldn't. "I got to wash my hair that day. I don't have enough hair. I got to take my dog to the vet. I don't have a dog." So I finally submitted to the Spirit. I said, "Okay, yeah, I'll teach the message." And then I asked him, I said, "Hey, what is the topic?" And he said, "Murder and adultery in the heart. Good luck, deuces," and he took off to Mexico. In all fairness, he did try to get other pastors to step in, but evidently the Lord said, "Nope, I want Chris to do it." So here I am. I really am honored that he trusts me to give the message while he's gone, that I can step in and allow him and his team to go down to Mexico. They're being the hands and feet of Jesus down there, and all I have to do is have a conversation with my church family. So that's what we're going to do. Before we jump into today's teaching, I want to do a recap of the last couple of weeks. If you remember week one, Pastor Ryan taught about the Beatitudes, and he said that the clearest sign that someone has repented is they start to become Beatitude people, or blessed are people. And then last week, Pastor Ryan taught about salt and light. He gave the historical context of the value of salt and light in the ancient world and how Jesus calls us now to go out into the world and be salt and light. Pastor Ryan also reminded us that the Sermon on the Mount, although it's broken up into sections in our Bibles, in fact, it's 3 chapters long in the book of Matthew, it's one continuous teaching from Jesus. That was a long day of teaching and preaching of Jesus. This is important to understand because right after Jesus tells us to go and be salt and light, he's going to show us that we have a problem. A problem that's, if not addressed, is going to keep us from truly being salt and light. A problem that, if not addressed, is going to keep us from being blessed are people. Are you ready to dig in? All right, turn to your neighbor and tell him to buckle up. Turn to your other neighbor and tell him that Elder Chris loves you. We have a saying around here, we get into the word. That's fun. If you brought your Bibles, the main teaching today is going to be in Matthew 5, 21 and 22 and Matthew 5, 27 and 28. So we're looking at 2 teachings from Jesus from the Sermon on the Mount. First, Jesus speaks about murder and anger in Matthew 5, 21, 22. This is Jesus speaking. "You have heard that it was said to our ancestors, 'Do not murder,' and whoever murders will be subject to judgment. But I tell you, everyone who is angry with his brother or sister will be subject to judgment." Then just a few verses later, Jesus speaks about adultery and lust in Matthew 5, 27 and 28. Again, this is Jesus speaking. "You have heard that it was said, 'Do not commit adultery.' But I tell you, everyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart." At first, these may seem like 2 separate issues. One's about murder, one's about adultery. One's about anger, one's about lust. But Jesus is doing the same thing in both passages. He's showing us that sin does not begin with the hands. It begins in the heart. Jesus is not only asking, "Did you murder?" He's asking, "Have you hated? Jesus is not only asking, have you committed adultery? He's asking, have you allowed lust to rule in your heart? So the big idea today is this. In the kingdom of Jesus, holiness is not just clean hands. It's a surrendered heart. All of us understand that murder is wrong. All of us understand that adultery is wrong. But Jesus takes us deeper. He says murder has roots: anger, bitterness, contempt, resentment, hatred. Those things may never show up on a police report, but they're still dangerous before God. And then he says adultery has roots: lust, fantasy, secrecy, entitlement, using another person in the imagination. Those things may stay hidden from people, but they're not hidden from God. Proverbs tells us to guard the heart. Proverbs 4:23, guard your heart above all else, for it is the source of life. That is exactly what Jesus is teaching. The heart is the source. What we nurture inwardly will eventually shape how we live our life outwardly. James also shows us how sin progresses. James 1, 14 and 15. But each person is tempted when he is drawn away and enticed by his own evil desire. Then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And when sin is fully grown, it gives birth to death. Sin grows. Anger can grow into contempt. Contempt can grow into hatred. And hatred can grow into actual violence. Lust can grow into fantasy. Fantasy can grow into secrecy. And secrecy can grow into actual betrayal. So Jesus is not just warning us about the final act. He's warning us about the root. Jesus is not trimming branches. He's going after roots. Elder Wayne says it often, take an axe to the root. It's because he understands this teaching from Jesus, and so should we all. And that is why this teaching can feel uncomfortable, because Jesus will not let us hide behind outward behavior. Someone might say, I've never murdered anyone. And Jesus says, what about the person you despise? Someone might say, I've never committed adultery. And Jesus says, what about the lust you have welcomed and protected? Jesus is not satisfied with a cleaned up outside while the inside remains untouched. He wants the whole person. At first, anger and lust might seem very different, but they share something in common. Both can reduce another person. Anger says, you're in my way. You're beneath me. You're my problem. Lust says, you exist for my desire. Your personhood does not matter as much as my appetite. Anger attacks the worth of another person. Lust ignores the worth of another person. But scripture tells us in Genesis 1 that every person is made in the image of God. Genesis 1:27. So God created man in his own image. He created him in the image of God. That means the person that I'm angry with is not just an obstacle. The person I am tempted to lust after is not an object. They are made by God. They are loved by God. They are someone Jesus came to redeem. That changes how we see people. In the same chapter, Matthew 5, Jesus talks about calling someone raca or fool. Those are words of contempt. It's not just that somebody did something wrong. It's that I begin to treat them as worthless. And we must be honest, church. That can happen in church. It can happen in marriages. It can happen in families. It can happen online. It can happen when we talk about people who frustrate us. We may not strike them with our hands, but we can strike them with our words. We may not kill their body, but we can assassinate their character. We may not murder them physically, but we can stop loving them in our heart. And Jesus says that matters. Cain is a picture of this. Genesis 4, 6 through 8. Then the Lord said to Cain, "Why are you furious? And why do you look despondent? If you do what is right, won't you be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at the door. Its desire is for you, but you must rule over it." Cain said to his brother Abel, "Let's go out to the field." And while they are in the field, Cain attacked his brother Abel and killed him. Before Cain murdered Abel, God was dealing with Cain's anger. The murder happened in a field, but something was already happening in Cain's heart. John says the same thing in the New Testament. 1 John 3:15. "Everyone who hates his brother or sister is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life residing in him." That is strong language, but it fits exactly what Jesus says. Hatred is murder in seed form. Then with lust, Jesus says to look at a woman, to look with lustful intent is already adultery in the heart. He's not saying that noticing beauty is a sin. He's not saying that temptation itself is the same as rebellion, but he's confronting the look that lingers, the desire that feeds, the imagination that uses another person. Job gives us a picture of heart level purity. Job 31:1. "I have made a covenant with my eyes. How then could I look at a young woman?" Job understood that holiness involves what we choose to look at, what we allow to linger, and what we make room for in our imagination. So Jesus is calling us to see people rightly, not as enemies, not as objects, not as labels, not as problems, not as fantasies, but as people made in the image of God. I stand here before you guilty of having done all these, but praise God for his grace and mercy. And I will get there in a moment, I promise. But before we rush too quickly to the good news, we need to sit honestly in the bad news, because Jesus' words do not let any of us walk away untouched. It would be easy for someone to hear, "You shall not murder," and say, I'm safe, I've never done that." It would be easy for someone to hear, "You shall not commit adultery," and think, "I'm safe, I've never done that." But Jesus does not stop at the outward act. He presses into the heart. He says anger matters, contempt matters, hatred matters, lust matters, the hidden look matters, the secret fantasy matters, the bitterness that no one else knows about matters. And that's the bad news. We're not as clean as we thought we were. We may have clean hands in front of people, but still have an unclean heart before God. We may have avoided the act of murder, but still carried hatred. We may have avoided the act of adultery, but still welcomed lust. We may have protected our reputation, but neglected repentance. And if we're honest, we know how quickly the heart can justify itself. We say, "I only think this way because they deserve it. I'm only angry because they hurt me. It's only in my mind. Nobody knows. At least I didn't act on it." But Jesus stands before us and says, "Your Father sees the heart." That should humble us. Not one of us can stand before God and say, "Lord, I have loved perfectly." Not one of us can say, "Lord, my thoughts have always been pure." Not one of us can say, "Lord, I have never despised another person." Not one of us can say, "Lord, I have never used another person in my heart." This is where repentance begins. Repentance is not making excuses. Repentance is not blaming someone else. Repentance is not saying, well, everybody struggles. Repentance is not feeling bad for a moment and then protecting the same sin. Repentance is coming into the light and agreeing with God. It is saying, Lord, you are right about my anger. Lord, you are right about my lust. Lord, you are right about my bitterness. Lord, you are right about my hidden thoughts. Lord, I have sinned not only with my actions, but in my heart. And church, that is painful. But it's also mercy, because the worst thing God could do is leave us comfortable in sin. The mercy of Jesus is that he tells us the truth before it destroys us. He exposes anger before it grows into hatred. He exposes lust before it grows into betrayal. He exposes contempt before it poisons our relationships. He exposes the hidden thing before it becomes the ruling thing. So the invitation today is not to pretend. It's not to hide. It's not to compare yourself to someone worse. The invitation is to repent, to bring the heart into the light of God and say, Lord, I need more than forgiveness for what I have done. I need cleansing for who I am becoming. Now that we've heard the bad news honestly, we are ready to hear the good news clearly. Amen. The same Jesus who exposes the heart can transform the heart. Amen. Jesus does not expose sin just to leave us condemned. He exposes sin so we can be forgiven. He exposes sin so we can be cleansed. He exposes sin so we can be made new. The same Jesus who says you're guilty in the heart is the Savior who went to the cross for guilty people. At the cross, Jesus carried the guilt of our outward sins and our inward sins. He died for the murder committed by the hands and the hatred hidden in the heart. He died for the adultery committed by the body and the lust hidden in the mind. He died for the sins people saw and the sins no one saw but God. So we do not come to him pretending we are clean. We come to him because we know we're not. And when we come in repentance and faith, he does not turn us away. Psalm 51 is powerful here because David knew the damage of lust and murder. His sin with Bathsheba led to the betrayal, deception, and death of Uriah. And when David repented, he did not merely say, Lord, help me behave better. He prayed for a clean heart. Psalm 51:10. God, create a clean heart for me and renew a steadfast spirit within me. That is the prayer of this message. Lord, create a clean heart in me. Not just cleaner habits, not just better self-control, not just more religious appearance. We need a clean heart. And the good news is that God can give what he commands. Ezekiel 36 gives us this promise. Ezekiel 36, 26 and 27. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will remove your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. I will place my spirit within you and cause you to follow my statutes and carefully observe my ordinances. God does not merely command a clean heart. He can give a new heart. And Galatians shows us what life looks like when the Spirit is forming us. Galatians 5, 16 and 22 and 23. I say then, walk by the Spirit and you will certainly not carry out the desire of the flesh. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The law is not against such things. The fruit of the Spirit answers both anger and lust. Anger is answered by love, patience, kindness, gentleness, and self-control. Lust is answered by love, goodness, faithfulness, and self-control. This is not just behavior management. This is spirit-formed character. Grace does not forgive, only forgive what we have done. Grace begins to change what we desire. This is why Jesus' words, though serious, are not hopeless. He's calling us into deeper holiness. Not the holiness of pretending. Not the holiness of hiding. Not the holiness of saying, at least I have not done what they did. But the holiness of surrender. The holiness that says, Lord, I give you my anger. Lord, I give you my lust. Lord, I give you my secret thoughts. Lord, I give you the people I've despised. Lord, I give you the desires I have protected. Lord, make me clean from the inside out. So today, if the word of God is exposing you, do not run from that. Respond to it. If the Spirit is putting his finger on anger, confess it. If the Spirit is putting his finger on lust, confess it. If the Spirit is putting his finger on contempt, confess it. If the Spirit is putting his finger on secret sin, confess it. Do not protect what Jesus died to forgive. Do not hide what Jesus came to heal. Come to him. Repentance is not the doorway to shame. Repentance is the doorway to grace. Because in Jesus, the bad news is not the final word. The final word is mercy. The final word is forgiveness. The final word is a new heart. Worship team, you can make your way up. So I want to ask two simple heart questions for you to ask yourself today. First, who have I allowed myself to despise? Is there someone I have reduced to a label? Someone I have insulted in my heart? Someone I have refused to forgive? Someone I secretly want to see fail? And second, who have I allowed myself to use? Is there someone I have reduced to an image, a fantasy, a desire? Is there a place where my eyes and imagination are leading my heart away from holiness? Church, these are not easy questions, but they're good questions. Because Jesus is not after surface level religion. He's after the heart. And the invitation today is not try harder, hide better. The invitation is to come to Jesus. Come honestly. Come humbly. Come repentant. Come ready to be made new. At the cross, Jesus absorbed hatred without returning hatred. He was mocked, insulted, beaten, and crucified. Yet he prayed for those who crucified him. At the cross, Jesus loved with perfect purity. He did not use people. He gave himself for people. And now, by his Holy Spirit, he can make us people who love from the heart. Prayer partners, if you'd make your way to the corners, please. If you have something today that you need to confess or would like prayer, our prayer partners will be in the corner. They would love to pray with you. Everything you share with them is confidential. It's between you, them, and God. If you need to do work just between you and God, the altar is open for you to allow yourself to be a dwelling place for the Holy Spirit to do what he can do in you. Whatever it is that you need to do, do not leave here today with unfinished business. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you for the conviction of Holy Spirit before we become comfortable in sin. Thank you for your grace and your mercy. Lord, we surrender our hearts to you so that you can do the work only you can do in us. Do not only clean up our behavior, cleanse our hearts. Do not only restrain our hands, renew our desires. Do not only make us look religious, make us like you. Because in the kingdom of Jesus, holiness is not just clean hands, it is a surrendered heart. Amen.